Welcome to Redefined and Realigned, the podcast where we explore the twists and turns of life, finding balance, and discovering new paths to personal growth.
I'm Lex, and along with my co-host Sage, we're here to dive deep into the stories, strategies, and struggles that shape our journeys.
Whether you're looking to reinvent yourself, overcome obstacles, or simply find a bit more joy in your day-to-day, you've come to the right place.
We'll bring you inspiring guests, practical advice, and a healthy dose of humor as we navigate the challenges and triumphs of redefining and realigning our lives.
So sit back, relax, and join us as we explore what it means to live authentically and embrace change with open hearts and minds.
Welcome to Redefine and Realign. And welcome back to a brand new season of Redefine and Realign. I'm Lex, and as always, I am here with my fantastic co-host, Sage.
Hi, everyone. We are so excited to kick off this season two. And this episode, what we have with us is a very special guest who has an incredible story and invaluable insights that he's going to share with us.
That's right, Sage. Our guest today is a gentleman who goes by the name Perez. I must say, Perez is not just an impressive individual with a wealth of experience. He's also a dear friend of mine. Our friendship literally dates back to high school. Fun fact, Perez and I did not go to the same high school. However, our schools used to play basketball together.
That's always inspiring to see a friendship that can evolve over the years and it leads to amazing stories. And Perez, we are so thrilled to have you on today and to share your insights, your journey, and your experiences.
Oh yeah,
let's
start by having you just tell us a little about yourself and your background.
Oh yeah, for sure. So my name is Perez. And for those that don't know, Perez is not a Spanish name. It's in the Bible, Genesis 30. So they will play me. Don't play yourself. So I'm Perez. I'm Nigerian. Yes, I'm Nigerian. I'm Igbo. You guys already know, but I live in ATL, Georgia. Me and Alex have known each other for a long time. I live here. I work in tech. I have a company and I love my family. So that's it. Let's go ahead and get started. By the way, let's check that verse. Genesis 32, verse 29. Thank you.
Note to self. Now for that quick intro. Now let's start from the beginning. Take us back to high school. What were your aspirations in high school and how have they evolved over time?
Bro, high school, I wanted to be Steve Jobs and join the army. Bam. That was it.
Love it.
Simultaneously, or you want to be Steve Jobs?
I wanted to be Steve Jobs and be in the army.
Okay. Thank you for clearing that up. Okay.
Bam.
And what about Steve Jobs inspired you to have that kind of...
That's a good question. That's a good question. I think I've always loved building things. And I love that the smartest people are crazy. Like you have to be crazy. And I thought different. He does like things different. So I watched the movie about Steve Jobs. I really love the guy and I really love technology. I was like, I think I can really do this. And I love the art, like military stuff. I used to watch all these commando movies. Like when I was younger, I couldn't watch a movie that nobody's there shot. So like, I always wanted to be in the army. Well, until my dad made me sit down with a general. He told me, there's no money in this. So if you want to join the army, you want to join the American army or something. There's no money.
Where the actual benefits of joining the army.
Hey, don't knock the military. I know some people who don't even have to work right now because they serve.
Exactly. That's facts.
But that was the Nigerian army, yo.
You know, Nigerian army and U.S.
It's different, too.
Yeah, different. But yeah, that was good. I love that because I never really thought about you joining the army. But you know what? Anything is possible. I believe that anything is possible. Mm-hmm. So let me ask you, growing up, what were some of those key moments or like decisions during your early years that shaped your career path?
Key decisions. I think one of the big decisions was to really come to America. I had the choice between going to the UK and the US. And I chose the U.S. Like, I'm not gonna lie. One day, like, I didn't even tell him when I was leaving. I just left. So
you know that one day I saw Perez play football. I did not see him after.
That's the key decision. Okay, I gotta change this tech dream. That was one of the key decisions, honestly. On that key decision I made was when I was in Nigeria. I made a decision. Okay, like I really want to get to God. I fasted for 1 year straight. Like 1 year, 6 or 6. Like fasting and praying. I didn't break one day because I really wanted to be close to God. So I think those two key decisions of being close to God, fasting for the year, and also like just making decisions like, yo, just enter America. Once you figure enter America, you'll figure everything out. So those are the top two.
Let's come back to that very big decision you made about fasting for 1 year just to get close to God. What were the challenges like? Did you struggle with consistency? What was that like for you?
And how bad were the headaches? Because if I go 1 hour without eating,
I'm not gonna.
It is like I'm getting closer to God in a different level.
It's tough. So I'm not gonna lie. I've never said this before, but when I was younger, I had this, you know, this vision that God come and speaks to you. So I was dreaming, and then He spoke to me and told me I should go spend some more time with Him, and that He has big plans for me, and that He wants me to dedicate my life to Him. I'm not saying I was a saint. But when I was like, okay, God has actually spoken to me, and I could like literally speak to me in my dream, I was like, this is crazy. And then my mom is crazy. 2 weeks later, told me that she saw in a vision that God really wanted to make a connection with me. I was like, wow, this is crazy. And I was like, what's the best thing I can do to focus on God? And I started reading the Bible a lot. I started being close to my friend, Clarence Emmett. I was like, maybe I should just go on a fast. So we did a 3-day fast. It became a 1-month fast. I was like, you know what? Let me do something that I'll remember for the rest of my life. You know how much you want to do something? You have to make one decision. Like, you have to make a sacrifice. So I was like, I'm going to fast for 1 year. Just like, let me just do it just to get closer to God. No water, no food from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. And just that discipline. They just teach me how to get closer to God, which I did, but also showed me discipline. When you make up your mind, you're going to do something, you do it. Like, I really love the experience. So yeah, that was it.
I love that you mentioned your mom. And I think that takes us into our next question of how does being a family man, having all these influences from family, how has it impacted your journey and your decisions, your personal life and in your professional life?
Thank God you asked me. There's a difference between when someone goes to God because they want to and when someone goes to God because they have to. I felt there was no other choice. So in this America that we are, for the people that are listening, we're in America right now, but this America that we are, I've lived in 10 states, right? Back to back, like literally, like I came here for school, things didn't work out with school. I had to leave school early. So I had to do construction work. And then by mistake, ended up being at the border, like the US border, ended up being detention center, went into deportation, came out. I had to figure out my life. I got married when I was 23. I had my child when I was 24. Right now I'm 28. Like my life was just, God, honestly, that was just, that's what I'm saying. There's a difference between when some people, they want God, some people need God. I think everybody needs God. But for me, it was just like, my life was literally, I've lived in 10 states. This is with child, dude. There's one time I had to take my child, put her in a U-Haul because I didn't have driver's license. I couldn't get on the plane. So I had to drive home. One state to another, 52 hours in a U-Haul, and my child is only 3 months old. You understand? So it's like, just go. There's no way. I made a decision that I was not going to do any of this internet fraud. I was not going to steal. Like, I was going to stay with God. It was just God that was just keeping me. So honestly, I wouldn't forget the question you even asked me, but just saying that God.
I think she was just very curious to know, like, how family influence her, how
people
affected your decision professionally.
Family influence. So I think having the family going through all that stuff in America, like, there was no other choice. I just had to look to God. And also, I'm not going to lie, my mom is a pastor, my dad is a deacon. So that influence really helped me. Like, we're one of those families that you wake up 6 a.m. every morning. If you like, sleep at 12. You will wake up, do you understand, every morning, and you do morning prayer and you sing. So those things really instilled in me. One of those children that you are raising. Also, even if you make mistakes, like, you're not too far away.
What's your favorite hymn?
I think it's My Father's One. I'm planted by the riverside. I'm watered by the Lord. I'm planted by the riverside. I'm watered by the Lord.
I love it.
Wow.
I love it.
Okay.
I love it. Okay.
Okay.
Let's talk. Let's talk from, because there's a link from your family to your business. So let's talk a little bit about Nara. So how did you come up with the name Nara? What does it represent?
What is Nara? All that.
Nara, I'll just start the story. So like you guys know, I'll give you a little bit of background, how went into deportation, went from state to state, had the child. My daughter's name is Chi Nara. So Chi Nara means received by God. So the name Nara is like received. So because I didn't plan to have a child, it came about where we weren't ready. that situation made me go into therapy for the first time in my life. I still doing therapy. I still doing counseling. I'd never been there before. Never had to talk to anyone about what I was going through, emotional stuff. Emotional, damn it. But through that experience, I came out so much stronger, and I found the importance of faith and counseling. They go hand in hand. And I made it a mission of mine, like one of my goals. I have five passions I'm passionate about, and one of them is mental health. So I made a mission of mine to help others deal with whatever mental issues they're going through. So I started this company called Nara Therapy, you know, because I went through depression when Chichi was born, and now I came out better. So what Nara really is, the mental health company, where we basically help people find lasting mental wellness quickly and affordably. We do it in two ways, through therapy and self-care. So on the therapy side, you can find a therapist online with Nara. Most of our therapists are Black. Hopefully our listeners are Black as well. And on the self-care side, we have our app coming out real soon. Once you download the Nara app, you answer a bunch of questions and it gives you a list of things to do every day to boost your mental health, be it journaling, mood check-ins, just going on a walk and things like that. We're really proud about it.
I love that. That's amazing. That is so amazing. So now let me ask you, because I definitely hear a lot of challenges from this story. So Kate, share with us some of the biggest challenges that you faced when you started Nara. And I know you said you had to do therapy and all, but how did you actually overcome it? Do you have steps you want to share with us?
So challenges in building the company?
Yes.
Yes. I think one of the biggest things is funding. Right. So maybe some guys are not like into, you know, tech space, but funding can be quite difficult because just to get the company out there costs a lot of money and things like that. So that was really difficult. Luckily, we've been able to get some funding. If you're listening to this, where by this time this comes out, we got some funding by UB Cultivate, which is $100,000 in seed funding, in pre-seed funding. But like just applying, saying no's, I've done like six pitch competitions that I came second. And this is back.
That's amazing.
So that funding is it's quite difficult. The second thing is sometimes explaining counseling and therapy to people that look like us. Like, why are you doing that? You should do fintech. You should do this. So just getting through those misconceptions, you know, it's quite. And also trying to have a full-time job, be a father, and start a company can be quite difficult. You just have to find the discipline, which is something I'm still working on.
Okay.
In today's society, I feel like a lot of us are taking a back seat to our mental wellness and even our physical wellness. We just have so much going on. Why a health company? Why did you feel like this was a necessity service today in society?
That's a great question. And I think one of the best ways I can answer it is if you lose your mind, you lose everything, right? Mm. If you lose your legs, hopefully you don't. If your mind is right, you're good. When was the worst thing people go through? Heartbreaks, depression. Everything is in the mind. We spend so much time. We go to the gym. I go to the gym because of our health. But if you lose the mind, everything is gone. And that's the most important thing. So that's why I think mental health is so important. If you look where we are, look at our parents and grandparents. They had way more money. They have way less money than we did. Less opportunity, but they were living a happier life. We're making more money than our parents, our grandparents. We have more opportunities. I have never had to sit in the back of the bus, but yet still something is not right. And it's our mind because we thought opportunities would change things, or when we have money, when we get this, we'll be all right, when we reach this goal. But at the end of the day, if you don't change your mind of how you see things and perspective, you'll always suffer. So I think that's why mental health is so important. And one thing about mental health is no matter how much you try to run from it, people make millions of dollars and commit suicide. You have to deal with your mental health. You have to sit down with yourself and make those uncomfortable conversations, whether it's your present, whether it's your past, and address those issues you might have.
That's very beautiful. My father used to say, my dad turned 80 this year. When he was telling us kids and family, like the only thing he wants is a prayer for a sound mind
and a
healthy body.
That's right.
You said that just hit me, that hit home right there. I was like, yeah, that's facts. Right. Our minds, it's one of the greatest tools we have. So let me ask, what would you say there, what sort of misconceptions are out there about seeking therapy, and how does Nara work to address them?
That's a great question.
That's a great one. Misconceptions about thinking therapy. I think one of the biggest things is the taboo, right? Of why do I need a therapist? Like, why do I even need to talk to someone? And I think one thing that we've done well at Nara is that all our providers have been trained for, I think, about over 200 hours. And just having regular conversations with people, just getting to know them, getting to talk to them. and getting to address issues indirectly or directly. The second thing is people feel like they don't have time, right? So busy. I don't have time for therapy. I'm so busy with work. And I'm happy to say that all our providers offer free 15-minute consultation. Oh. That's free. You can just get started 100% free. And all our providers accept insurance. So if you're in the U.S., they have insurance. Also, costs. People think it's so expensive. But with insurance, the average person an hour pays about $22 per session. Some people actually pay zero per session. So a lot of people don't know that your insurance, if you work, about 75%, we did a survey, about 75% of people have insurance and they don't know that insurance actually covers mental health and therapy. Like I said, go ahead. You can find a provider with NARA. You can filter by your insurance as well. So we've done a good job of allowing people to filter based on whatever insurance they have, based on their state and things like that.
I feel like I didn't even know that. I thought a lot of companies will like offer different benefits. Like they will say, like, oh, you can specifically sign up for a mental health benefit and you have to put X amount into a credit card and this, that, and the next. But I didn't know that insurance will directly cover.
Yeah, most people don't know. They don't want you to know because they don't want you to spend that money. Like, why would your insurance tell you? They want you to spend more money. They wouldn't even advertise it. But yes, it does cover mental health. You know, my last role I had, I paid $0 per session. And all the people I worked with, they did not know. I remember one guy was going through depression, like bad depression. Like he had suicide thoughts. Didn't even know that you could see a therapist for free.
Oh, that's great. Wow.
That's amazing. I love what NARA is doing. So now with all of these amazing features, how do you ensure that NARA continues to provide that high quality personalized experience for those that are actually seeking mental health support?
Thank you. That's a great question. And the best way to answer it, yeah, we have this philosophy in NARA that we said we make the product for the user and not the user for the product. And the only way we can do that is spending more time talking to people that actually use our platforms. Spend, I don't know if you guys are ready for my story, like, hey guys, if you use NARA, let's talk. I love talking to people, making sure that we're actually solving the problems. If you go on NARA and like when the mobile application is coming out, our web app is out, but mobile application should come out this week or next week. Like when you, let's say you want to need support or something is not going right on the app, you actually go into my email directly and you can talk to me directly. And I want to keep it that way until I literally can't do it anymore. So I think the most important thing is talking to users, making sure that if any complaints come, they can talk to us directly. And the second thing is I'm working with those providers as well. With NARA, you're able to review those providers. Let's say a provider is not working out, you can leave a review saying, hey, this person is not working out. We're making sure that we're verifying those providers, making sure that they're still licensed in whatever state they're in, things like that. So there's many things that we're doing to make sure that we still keep that standard.
Let me ask, just because you said users can provide reviews, are these reviews public or do they come like back internally to your team?
Great question. So they'll come to our team first, but our goal is to make them public where anyone can see them. So if anyone, something is not going right, just imagine like Uber, right? You want to be able to see those reviews. So we'll start with, the app is just coming out. We're going to start with them being private and then we can see them and then go public 100%.
Okay. And do you have like certain strategies that have helped in the growth of NARA? Like I know when me and Lex were starting a business, we were working 24/7. We didn't really have any guidance or a strategy where we set and plan and we said, okay, this is how we're going to use our platform or social media. Like there's so many ways now to advertise and grow. Did you have strategies when creating NARA?
This is weird, but one thing I did that was strange was when we were building NARA, I stopped for some time, went to therapy, and then came back. So everybody that works at NARA, we want to make sure that you're either don't have to see a therapist, but want to make sure that you're making proactive steps to work on your mental health so you understand what our users are going through. The second thing is, instead of saying at NARA, we never say we're going to build this feature or we're going to do this. We say we're going to test this out. So everything we do is, let's just test this out. Or we want to do social media marketing. Let's test it out first. So we're not fully committed because everything is an iteration. And we really believe in testing. And two things it does is, number one, it tells us, is this really working? And number two, it just breaks that barrier of, I'm about to make this huge decision. If you're like, I just want to test. Just imagine if someone says, oh, let's go to the gym or let's go run a mile or run 10 miles. I'm like, you know what? Let's just test out the gym. you'll be more inclined, because I feel like I'm just, I don't have to go and buy 20 clothes. Exactly. I don't have to. I'll just start with 1 day, decide this for me. Okay, then let's make it 3 days. Okay, now let's make it 5 days. So that's something that we really do. And it just makes things move faster.
Now I'm just going to pull it back down to finding that balance. So how do you, as a business leader, balance your responsibilities as a family man, as a man of faith, and running now?
Because let me tell you this. In business, I feel like there are some times where the line between faith and running a business can get a little murky, right? Because even though you're trying to provide quality to your public, sometimes you might be presented with opportunities that might not align with your faith.
Absolutely. Absolutely. There are many things. I wouldn't say explicitly, but there are many things some investors want to do at NARA that do not align in my faith, and I just refuse to do it. And I think that's where I have this principle, like say value over price, value over money. So like I have my values. So if I have to choose between value and money, I have to stick with my values, you know? So there are certain things that I just will not do, you know? I just won't do it. I have no, and you know, someone was saying at NARA, let's, like we're working on a meditation feature. And said, someone said, let's make it some Buddha type. I'm not doing that. We'll focus on helping people's mental health. If it's going to be with breath work, let's do that. But let's not go on that level. And then to the second thing of balance, I think balance is very important. And balance is something that you're always working on. There's no, you never balance. You have to just, it's something you keep striving, like your faith. It's something like you have to just keep working on day to day. But at the same time, I believe in systems, putting systems in place to help you. One of those systems for me is that when I'm making those hires at NARA, I look for people that could be CEOs in the future. Why? Because that gives me peace of mind. Those people are able to make decisions even when I'm not there. There are many times where things are not going right now. For example, one of our engineers, Apple rejected our app because of, I think, username instead of first name or something like that. Before I even woke up in the morning, the engineer already fixed it because he's thinking as the CEO. So those are one of those things that would, like, if you're trying to hire missionaries, not mercenaries. A missionary is someone that, like, they're mission-driven. A mercenary is someone that they're just good at doing that. So hire missionaries, not mercenaries. Not everyone gets to hire. I hire from Nigeria, it's cheaper. The second thing is I'm very disciplined about my time. I know it can't work for anyone, everyone, but like, literally, I go to bed. I wake up at 5 a.m. I go to bed at 9. Like, I'm very disciplined. But for this podcast, I told Alex, I love you guys. I'll spend the time.
But she acted to me that too. She was like, he goes to bed at 9. So we got to do it right here, right now. Get it done so he can go to bed. I was like, okay. Exactly. Try and make it quick.
And what things with family, I make time. I plan events like we do Pizza Fridays and Ice Cream Sundays. Those are just those things I just put in place. Pizza Fridays because my daughter loves pizza. Wifey loves pizza. So I'm just like, I don't know what can happen, but I'm just making sure. So if you like, call me and say, hey, this is not working. I am doing Pizza Fridays. I also do prayer on Fridays as well. So family prayer. Even if the family is not around, I still do it by myself. And then Ice Cream Sundays. After church, we'll go get ice cream. And maybe just spend 30 minutes, we'll talk, you can ask me anything you want. So just putting those things in place. Like I said, I'm not perfect, but just putting those things in place just makes things easier. So at least I can say, this is what I'm doing.
Yes, word. I love that. And you know what you just said, hire missionaries and not mercenaries, it hit me because I just spent this entire week hiring new staff for my business. And I'm like, I had to think during the interview process, I was literally like looking for those qualities, those CEO qualities. So it's crazy. Let me think about it that way. When I was hiring, I was just like, I need people that can make decisions when I'm not here. Because first of all, think about the time zone in Nigeria. Before I'm up, I need, if there's something that needs to be done, you can't wake me at 3 a.m. because it's your morning.
Thank you.
And you better not wake me at 3 a.m. because it's your morning.
Exactly. I have same thing. I have a team of four people in Nigeria. And we used to have someone that used to work for us, and I fired her. Unfortunately, she's a great person, but I felt like she was more of a mercenary than a missionary. And unfortunately, at this early stage in NARA, we have to focus on missionaries until we get to a bigger stage. So,
it's very important. I legitimately love this quote.
I literally just texted it to Sage. I'm like, points, stamp that right.
When we start hiring again, we need to hire. I might be like on the top of our website. We are looking for
our missionary. But that's amazing. That's amazing. So what advice would you give to someone that is looking to start their own business, particularly in the mental health space?
Boom. I think for me, this is my personal advice. right? I think I know this is cliche, and I'll give an example why this is important. Find something that you're really passionate about. If you had $1 billion in your account, what will you do? Like, you want to make sure you're not just doing it for money, because times are hard. It's almost like a woman being pregnant, right? Imagine finding out you have to be passionate about what's in your stomach. I'm saying, like, think about it. Pregnancy is hard. It's really hard. And when you're pregnant, you're not thinking about what the baby can do for you. You're thinking about what you can do for the baby. No one thinks and said, oh, I'm pregnant. This is what the child is going to do for me. When the child is four, it's going to do. No, you're thinking about what you can do for that child. So you have to be really passionate about what you're doing. So when the hard time comes, you know what I'm saying? Like, think about being pregnant. If a woman is pregnant, you're going through this, you're going through pain, your back is paining you because of that thing in your stomach. Today, you're feeling like you want to chop burger. Next minute, you feel like you want to chop. It's messing up your emotions. It's literally killing you. And because you're so passionate about it, you don't want to give up. Out of your stomach brings so much pain. That's the same thing about starting a business. I tell people, like, I understand people love money, you know, fintech, this, but don't just do it for the money. Make sure you're like me. My passion is mental health. Literally, my passion is mental health. And I have 5 passions, and I read them every day. And one of my top things is mental health. So when things are hard, like, people out here that Naira can really help. And also, I'm building the second thing. Build something that you're actually going to use. Build something. Like,
you remember when we started and I was telling you how we kept messing up trial and error? This is the advice we needed.
You're actually going to use. Don't start a podcast that you won't even listen to yourself. Like your own picture on Instagram. Do something that you actually, that solves a problem for yourself. In Nigeria, they just put it safe. They say, scratch your yash first. Scratch your own yash. That means that solve your own problem first. Don't be solving another person's problem that you don't understand. Like, I was in lunch, someone said he started a tech company, and this tech company is in Gambia. I said, you Gambia. He said, no. So you're always stressed out. I mean, why would you be stressed? Do you understand? But stress will always be there. But like I said, the first thing is be passionate about it because it gets hard. The second thing is make sure that it's a problem like you actually care about. You use your platform. If you're starting a podcast, if you're making clothes, make sure you yourself, you wear the clothes. Do you get what I'm saying? Make sure, be your own. I found my therapist on that. Do you understand? So I'm like, even if Naira fails.
I have a therapist.
You have a therapist.
I have a therapist.
I love it.
Me. Do you understand?
I love you. You have to be your own biggest user, actually. I really
do. You have to be your own biggest. You have to be the number one user. Do you understand?
Yes.
If you post on Instagram, like your own picture of
him. Yes. Are you saying?
Yes. Are you like waiting for someone? And I think, honestly, I think that philosophy everywhere. Ask anyone. My birthday, I did go out by myself with suits. Cat, when that wrestling, white people could not make it. I went out by myself. They said, sir, what? I see my wedding anniversary, even though she cannot make it. Me, I'm going out by myself if I have to. My daughter's birthday, I hired a photographer. After taking a picture of her, they take a picture of me.
Because without her, without you, what?
Are you my? Take a picture of me.
I love it.
Do it for yourself first. I don't care what you're doing. If you're making toilet, put me on that toilet. If you're making podcast, be the same person to listen. As you're driving home, they watch your own podcast. Just listen. They laugh. Yes. Laugh at your own jokes.
Facts.
Do you understand? So that's my advice. I'm telling you.
Ooh, I don't know what you're doing to me, Perez, but I love it.
Wow. I'm feeling it. Jimmy said, I told you, I said I have a perfect person for you, Jerry. So things are true, Perez. Yes.
They're not ready.
You know what hit me? When you take a picture and you post it on Instagram, like it first. Hit me. Because I feel like a lot of us, not just a lot of us, I'll say it, I do it. Like, I'll post on TikTok or post on Instagram and then close my phone immediately. And I base how well the picture looks or how good the video is off of the likes that I'm receiving, rather than how I feel about it.
Exactly. That's the thing. If you don't love yourself, you expect others to love you. Do you understand? Hell. And their love will determine it, you're revealing their love. But when you love yourself, everybody else, you're already filled the cup. Everybody else is just adding to the one that you're already there. Do you understand? I'm telling you. That's what even Naira, self-care. I don't care. I go to the movies by myself. Sit down and watch my movies by myself. Do you understand? Mm-hmm. There are many things I'll do for wife. I'm doing it because I'm doing it for me, but she's the benefactor. Do you understand? Like, wow. Things for my daughter, I'm doing it for me, but I'm doing it, but she get the benefit. Do it for yourself.
I love this mindset. Business. Like, it's so powerful. People don't even understand. It's so underrated, but it's so powerful.
I'm telling you, but, your birthday.
Chris, I need to ask. I have to ask because this energy, I love it. I love it. I love it. Did this develop because of therapy, or did this mindset exist?
So I'm not going to lie. The spark was there, but therapy helped me realize that I wasn't crazy. It helped me realize that I am not crazy. One thing I learned from therapy is that everybody might be stupid. It doesn't matter. Because before, one thing I learned is in this life, when we make decisions or how we see life, we look at the left and we look at the right. People doing this, is this acceptable? But one thing I learned from counseling is that everybody else might be drowning. You know what I'm saying? Like, focus on your own. You get what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So like it came out where like, so because even sometimes everybody goes through some, like some things are just not making sense. Even if everybody is doing it, some things are just not making sense.
True.
And everybody has that feeling, but we're like, you know what? Since everyone is doing it, let's just go ahead and do it.
You know what's crazy? You see, you just said, I just remember telling my friend that she was complaining, she's stressed, she's going through a lot. I said, you go through a lot? Yeah, I'm just coming back from a lot.
Exactly.
We will go through it.
We'll go through it. Even in the, what they say, not in the Bible, it says, even though I walk through the shadow of death, that means you must walk.
You must walk.
He did not say,
I fear no evil.
He did not say, God will remove me from the shadow of death. He said, even though I walk. So that means you must walk through the shadow.
Wow.
Do you understand?
Wow.
Drop your mic. Just drop your mic right now. Just drop your mic. If I had a shoe, I would fling it because...
They're not ready.
Not the glass. Not the chair.
I wish our listeners could see this right now. Like, you're too cool for us right now.
I don't play in mental health. Yeah. When I started going to therapy, they were calling me weak. The same people that were calling me weak, when they were depressed, they were calling me for advice.
Oh, wow.
The same people...
Wow.
The same people that were calling me, why do you have to do this? You must be going through something that just pray, just do this. Right. Just, I say, it's not the same God that when Mary was depressed, he said, go and meet Elizabeth. Go and talk to your cousin because she too is pregnant and she understands your struggle. The same Mary that God sent angels to go and talk to also told the same Mary to go and talk to Elizabeth.
Mm.
Human.
Wow.
Get therapy. Join Nara.com.
Join
Nara.com.
That is our assignment after.
Join Nara.com.
Now, this is for my interest. Do you guys do like group sessions? Like,
not yet, okay. But we will.
I think that brings us to that question that you were about to ask about our future, the future of Nara. Mm-hmm.
But just before we talk more about the future of Nara, let me just ask you, like, in one word, how would you describe it? Not even in one. What are you most proud of in your journey with Nara and just life overall?
So there's two things. You said journey with Nara. Journey with Nara, I beat my chest that if I die today, one of the things I worked on was helping people find peace of mind. That's it. It's not about money. It's not much how much you raise. It's not much about how many providers we have. It's that I'm helping people find peace of mind. That is it with Nara. And the second question, what was the second one you asked?
So one with Nara and then just life overall. What's the one thing you're most proud of about your life overall?
I think one thing I'm proud of overall is I didn't give up. I'm still here. I just didn't give up. I've been through everything. In 1 week, I remember one week I was going through deportation, divorce, child custody, and I lost my job. I lost my car. And I felt like I just kept moving. I just said, you know what? There are many people that are crossing the border trying to be in my position. There are many people praying this child I'm fighting for at that time. This child, but marriages have ups and downs. We'll do that at a different podcast. But I said, this child I'm fighting for, many people are just praying just so you don't have one. Like, just count your blessings. Just keep going.
Keep it pushing.
Just keep it pushing. Yeah. I didn't give up. That's one thing I'm proud about.
And that's something to be very proud of. People don't even realize that it's more than just what are the materialistic things you have gathered or gained on earth. It's that journey, not giving
it's
up.
Journey.
Like,
is the journey. It's literally, people and it's like, I feel like God shows you the vision, but not the mission. God shows you the end, but doesn't tell you how you're going to get there.
Are you hearing?
God showed Joseph that his love was about him, but he didn't tell him that he was going to be in prison for 12 years. When God told Abraham he was going to be a father of many nations, the first thing he gave him was that he could not have children.
Oh, Lord. Make sense, God.
He told David he was going to be king. The thing he gave made David was a little immigrant who was running for years. If you think about anyone that God has promised something, they all went through the shadow of death. And it's in that shadow that will determine your character. It's in that shadow that will shake you where else you want to be. Do you understand? Do you understand? Look at Abraham, father of many nations, and then you give him barrenness. And then when you don't have a child, not until you go and sacrifice that child.
Wow.
Look at Joseph. God, think about how long Joseph was in prison. They say his brother did not recognize him. You can imagine. So I just told myself, there's one time, I'm not going to lie to you, man. I hope I hope you don't have to go through this. I remember when they caught me in the border, I came here for school and there was handcuffs on my leg. They handcuffed my hand. They put me inside jail. They'll tell you straight, we'll set you on yash, set you. And I was like, God, this is not what you showed me. This is not what you showed me, God. But when you get to the word, you understand that this is just a process, that God is showing you the vision, but not the mission. And it's in those tough times. It's in those tough times that determine your character. Do you understand? So when I said I'm proud, I didn't give up. And many times I'll just be like, you know what? One more.
I'm so proud to hear this. Like, this is something that people don't even understand. You're out there, you're listening. Just keep pushing.
Just keep pushing. Everybody's going through something. There's someone listening to this, you're going through something. Whether you're a male, you're a female, you're American, you're Jamaican, you're Nigerian. Everybody's going through something. It might not be deportation. It might not be. Everyone is going through something. But you got to find what. To me, that's my faith in God. Just keep pushing. You get what I'm saying? Just keep pushing. Sometimes you cannot even explain to people because they don't understand. They literally don't understand. There are many times I couldn't even take a flight. So I had to take a bus. I took an 80-hour bus because I didn't want to be caught in the flight because I was running away from the government. You know what I'm saying? So just keep pushing. Mm-hmm. Just you woke up, you're good. Just you woke up in the morning. That's just a blessing.
And I love that because I feel like sometimes we get a vision from God and our first thing to do is just share it with everybody. Bam. And then you start sharing it and then it starts to oppress on you. You can't do that. That's not feasible. That's not something that can be done.
They don't understand. How do you think Joseph ended up in the pit? God showed him a vision and then he went to go
talk. Went to talk.
He went to go open his mouth. God's plan was not for him to be in the pit. He put himself there. That's why people don't talk about the whole story. They talk about the bad brother, but they don't talk about a man that can't keep his mouth quiet when it comes to God's plans. There are many things that even God tells you, you might not even tell the people you love the most because they're not spiritually or emotionally ready. And that's the thing about God. God will only give you and tell you what you can manage. I don't know if you know this. God will only give you and tell you what you can manage. That's why he shows you the vision, but not the mission, because you're not strong enough to see the problems. You can't comprehend. And that's the same thing we should do with people. Be careful. They are dream killers. They will kill your game. Everybody is listening, carries a womb. Whether you're a man or you're a woman, I don't care what you're saying. There's a womb inside of you. There's a dream inside. Everybody has the dream. The biggest dreams are found in the graveyard because that's where they died. Because they kept saying the wrong people. You kept planting it on the wrong seed. But just keep your mouth quiet. Focus on God and focus on people. Mind you, remember when Mary was going through a lot? He said, go talk to Elizabeth. Elizabeth was also pregnant. And Elizabeth was carrying John the Baptist, who was the second greatest person to ever walk the earth with Jesus. The two women were carrying number one and number two. They understood each other.
Wow.
You go and start talking to the wrong people, that will kill your dreams. That will literally kill your dreams. There are many times, there are some people in this life, they just need to just see the fruits. You ain't got to say nothing. Jesus didn't answer everybody. Go check the Bible. Many times I ask him a question, he's quiet. Big fact.
Wow.
Not the clickety-click. We're putting down those gems.
We're typing. We are typing.
Let me ask you, Perez, what are your... Because, first of all, thank you for all of that.
I love you guys.
We needed that. I can speak for myself. My spirit needed
I am in accordance because when I tell you I'm about to be so selfish in these streets, you can't tell me nothing.
Love your dream, man. You got to love yourself.
My gosh. Like I honestly felt like my body receiving your energy and just ready to put, oh my gosh.
I've been saying this for the past 3 months. There are certain conversations I've been having that I know the Holy Spirit ordained. It cannot even, because I want to be like, I see what you did there, God. I needed this thing. You don't even realize this thing. You just said it. There's some things that have been floating and troubling and giving me sleepless. Like I've been, and you just answered something. And I'm like, hell,
it's all God.
And I know I'm going to re-listen to this podcast because
we're our biggest fans. Hello.
Not even just that. This, like, when we created this podcast, it was with the intention to help people, but I never thought that it would also help me. Like, I thought I'd be giving the wisdom. And then when I hear myself talking, when I hear Perez talking, when I hear Lex talking, it's just, it awakens me and it reminds me, like, this is not just about Lex. This is not just about hearing our voices. This is really about making a better me.
Yep. Right.
Thank you guys for being here for me.
That's right.
Yep.
That's right.
Let me ask you, let's talk future goals. Where do you, or how do you see Naira evolving? I know you already spoke about like the app coming out. Is there any new initiative or even project? I know we spoke about not talking, so I can respect that. But how do you see your company in 5, 6, 10 years from now?
Yeah, in 5 years, that's a great question. And I'm a big writer, so I write a lot of things now. And I think one thing that we're really trying to do is, I know this sounds crazy, but with Naira, we're not just trying to restore peace of mind to people, we're also trying to restore families. We believe that with a sound mind, you have a sound family. It sounds weird. I know it sounds complicated, but
sounds good to me.
I'm just sure have crazy and stupid dreams. And I think one thing I'm really passionate about is reducing the divorce rate, keeping families together. So that's one thing we're really passionate about. I see Naira as a platform that whatever stress you're going through, you take it to God first, of course. And then you take it to Naira, leave your stress in Naira, and then go live your best life. So those are the things we're looking for. But we're really focused on restoring families, starting with the individual first, but also restoring families. And we're looking for ideas or ways to do that. But I believe that's what God has planted on my heart.
I love that. We're hitting your 9 o'clock mark, and we're going to try and be respectful.
For you guys. No, for you guys. I will go 3 hours.
Don't worry. You're coming back. It's okay.
Oh, you have. No, we need. These are the gems we need for our listeners. These are even for ourselves.
I'm about to text Lex. Send me that number. I just need a personal motivational text from Perez every day just to remind me. And alongside of that, I think message would you give to our listeners, what is the overarching thing about Naira, about wellness, about mental health, about being your own advocate? What is that last thing you want to leave with our listeners?
That's a great question. To be honest, the big thing I want to talk to people about is understand who you spend time with yourself, understand who you are, understand your, write down your, you know, your strengths, your weakness, make decisions for yourself. You know how we spoke about love yourself? That's the biggest thing. Love yourself. Yep. Love yourself. Take care of yourself. Love who you are right now or who you're going to be. That's the biggest thing I can leave for people. Of course, love God. Spend time with God. But learn to love yourself. Learn to really love yourself. Like I said, like your picture first. Take yourself out to dinner. Buy yourself. Take yourself to the movies. On your birthday, buy yourself a gift. If you don't buy yourself a gift, you don't love yourself. Do something for yourself.
If you don't buy, let's just pause and let's repeat that one more time. If you don't buy yourself a gift on your birthday, you don't love yourself. Bro, even if it's a cupcake,
no matter what it is,
get it for yourself. You deserve it.
Do it for yourself. Do it for yourself. Take yourself out. Tell yourself you're beautiful. You look good. You know, tell yourself, like, I love myself. Spend time with yourself. Some people don't like themselves. That's why they want other people to like them. Some people can't stand themselves.
Be the person.
Instead of finding someone you want to spend the rest of your life with, be the person you want to spend the rest of your life with.
Are you your spec?
Are you your spec? Are you your spec?
You said, I want to be a 6'6" man, broad shoulders, works out. Do you work out?
Exactly. Because the most person you spend time with in this entire life is yourself. So make sure
you
actually like yourself. Love yourself. That's all right. That's the best thing I can do for people. Love yourself.
Wow.
Jesus loved himself. In fact, he spent time by himself, with himself.
Yes.
That's what I'm saying. So love yourself.
This has been incredible. Thank you so much, Perez, for getting on here.
I love you guys.
Oh, my God.
It's been, honestly, we've been going on for almost an hour. This has been the perfect start to season two.
Let's go.
It has been absolutely amazing. Like, when I was saying we had a wealth of information, people thought I was joking. Have you heard? Have you received our every season one? You already know. We take notes. I hope you're taking notes because me. High end missionaries are not mercenaries.
Like your picture first. Like your picture first.
I love it. I love it. Thank you. Thank you so much, Perez. It's been amazing. This. Thank you for even sharing your journey and your insights with us. Absolutely. We're so grateful. I appreciate the time because I know, I know we're a little bit coarse, but to our listeners, again, thank you for tuning in. And we really hope that you found this episode as enlightening as we did. I hope you took those notes down. Preston, I was going to ask some questions.
And make sure you sign up for NARA and make sure that you are keeping up with your mental health. Make sure that check with your
NARA.com.
Join NARA. Join NARA.
Join NARA.com. Join NARA.com. Do you have any socials?
You heard it first.
Yeah, on Instagram, we're NARA_therapy.
Beautiful.
So make sure you follow, make sure you join NARA.com, and make sure you are keeping up with your
mental health. Make sure you love yourself.
Love yourself. Very much, guys. Stay tuned for more episodes this season. Don't forget to follow all our socials. Leave a comment as always. Until next time.
That's next time.